Lord, everyone, amen. God's a good God, amen? Amen. It is a joy and a pure delight to be back here in Greenville again at this wonderful church. Some of you may not know me. I'm no stranger here. I may be a stranger to you, but I'm not a stranger to this church, to this pulpit, and to the Spirit of God and the fellowship of the saints of God, the people of God. And so for me, it's just like being home. A little different, but not a whole lot, because in reality, amen, God has one family, amen, and God has one church. I was talking to Pastor Dale and Sister Jill. I had the wonderful experience. Oh, I guess it's a week now, week and a half now, to have served at the Whitehall Camp Meeting in Emlinton, Pennsylvania. I live in the southeastern part of the state of Pennsylvania and the eastern district of the Church of God, but there's also a western district and Whitehall Camp Meeting. I've never been there before, although I've passed where it is many, many times going to another camp meeting. And anyway, long story short, I had the wonderful privilege to be there, and we had such a marvelous time. And as my father, some of you may know my beloved father, who was a great Church of God pastor in our great movement for 45 years. And if you had known him, he's been in heaven now 7 years. He had a way of just making folk feel right at home, and just he was a truth preaching preacher, and just yet dealt with real life. And he had a way of talking about all of us. And he would say, sometimes he would say, now I'm going to a church of the other expression. So you know what I mean by that, don't you? Amen. And we're one expression and there's another expression. We're all expressions. And the Whitehall Camp Meeting was a marvelous time of fellowship. Oh, probably 1,500 people of God there, and many great pastors that I met, and it was just a great time. And found out that I think Sister Jill, Pastor Dale from that area, and a camp meeting they are very, very familiar with. But I'm glad to be back here. I'm no stranger. I'm not in the least bit uncomfortable. So y'all might as well warm on up, because I'm just going to preach like I'm at home. That may be a problem for somebody, but you'll just have to blame the new pastor now. Amen. He let me come. Amen. Blame him. Blame Pastor Nathan. Amen. I told Sister Kim and Sister Virginia that once I was invited for Faith Promise, and of course, your church is in transition, and we're going to pray about that at the end of the service. I just want to pray for you. I've been where you are 3 different times. I've pastored. I'm actually back home in Philadelphia, pastoring the church I grew up in. But I pastored the beginning of my pastoral career in California in 1981. We moved across the country. Amen. I was 26 years old, spent about 7 years there, then moved to the Midwest, spent about 6 years in Kansas City, Missouri, and then spent about 3 years on the field doing full-time evangelistic work, and then returned back home in 1997, where I have been pastoring since. So I know what it is to go through a church and transition people and pastor. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray together at the end of the service. But I was teasing him, saying, now, I don't have to come now. You're going through transition. You can kind of counsel me out, because when the pastor comes, you know, he has to have some leeway to decide what he wants for the program. But they assured me that it would be okay, that I'm here, and I am delighted. This is my 4th time here with you all, and I'm just very grateful to be here today. We do worship the Lord with you. We give honor to your pastor, amen, to Pastor Leisure, and getting to know him. We've had a wonderful time of fellowship already. He's already all right in my book. I stepped out, staying up on Locust Springs. I stepped out of the cabin. He's next door. Came out for the ride. He said, Pastor, we're going to leave at 9. I said, fine. Came outside, and he was in his sharp pinstripe suit, just like I am. I said, this brother's all right with me right now. He knows what's happening. Amen. Amen. And he got the memo, and we both rocking our pinstripes this morning. So everything's all right. But I'm very, very glad to meet him and look forward to meeting his wife and kids sometime in the future. That's a plug to come back, Pastor, for me to come back. Amen. But I'm looking forward to that. But seeing so many familiar faces, I don't remember every name, so don't feel, please, if you remind me of who you are. But it's been a few years since we've been here, and we're very, very grateful. Amen. So if you'll pray, and I know the pastor hasn't been long enough for you to get used to his time allowance for preaching. Amen. But that's all right. After pastoring 31 years, I've been pastoring 31 years. I know full well how to manage, and I see the clock is right in front of me, so I'm in good shape. Amen. And if that weren't the case, I have finally decided to use modern technology and use my own clock right here in front of me. And I preach. I tell my ministers at home that you need two things to be an effective preacher: the anointing of the Holy Spirit and a watch. Amen. And I tell them in no uncertain terms that what time allowance they have. I believe in the full move of the Holy Spirit and him having his way. But I was reminded, someone said to me that a preacher once said, in order for a message to be immortal, it need not be eternal. Amen. So we can say what God wants us to say in short order, and the people of God are blessed and we're encouraged, and then we're able to go on with the rest of our day and time. God bless you this morning. It is a pure and sheer delight to be back in a place that feels just as much as home as if I was home, and that's because of the love of the saints and the presence of God. Pray with me for a few minutes, and then we'll be able to just jump into this word. Pastor, is this my water here? All right, praise God. Let me test it out. All right. That works good. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege of being in your presence one more time. This is the day the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for the worship. Thank you, God, for the songs of Zion. Thank you for the testimony of our dear friend and brother. Oh, God, we bless your name because you're a God that sits high, but you look low. You're with us. Your name is Emmanuel. And God, all over this sanctuary, there are countless testimonies to the goodness and the mercies of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We bless your name today. Now, God, be pleased to be in this room. You're already here. Be pleased to let us preach and teach. In the name of Jesus, we pray that the words that go forth will be none other than your own words. Lord, we pray that your name will be glorified. Your people will be edified. We pray that the devil will be horrified because of the power and presence of Jesus, who is the Christ. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We certainly honor all the other leaders. Thank you, Sister Kim, for that introduction. And to all the pastors on staff, our good friends, our brothers and our sisters, all the stewards, all of God's wonderful people. Turn with me, if you will, here it is. I had to find, amen, my other eyes here. Pray. Mark chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark chapter 2. I was thrilled yesterday, had a time of great fellowship and a wonderful breakfast at Miss Charlotte's home. Miss Charlotte, are you here? Where's Miss Charlotte? Amen. And there you are, and had a wonderful breakfast at Miss Charlotte's home, and I heard the testimony, Uncle Buck's testimony yesterday, and I was just rejoicing and so thrilled. I can relate to some degree. 2011, I had just finished a revival in Boston. I won't tell you the whole story. God gets the glory for it. But the long and short of it was that I suffered a stroke, and the neurologist said it was in my brain stem, and that I should be at least paralyzed on one side and unable to talk. So I am rejoicing because God is a healer. As a result of it, I lost, hopefully temporarily, the doctor said it could come back, I lost some lower peripheral vision, But enough to still do. I can still do what God has called me to do, and I'm grateful. But I know God is a healer and a miracle worker. Amen. There are folk that don't believe it anymore, but that's okay. They've been wrong before anyway. Amen. So God still heals and God still performs miracles. So God bless you and thank God for his miracle working power. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. This same passage is also found in Luke chapter 5, but I want to read it from Mark's Gospel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Amen. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And they came to Jesus, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, I love that, he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I love the way Luke records that last verse in Luke chapter 5, verse 26. And Luke says and records that they said, "We have seen strange things today." Amen. 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 I contend that every now and then God ought to be able to do some strange things in our midst. Amen. We shouldn't pin him down to the bulletin. Amen. And everything, if something happens that's not on black and white and paper, then we're out of sorts. No, God can do some strange and wonderful things in our midst. Amen. 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 Y'all got to talk back to me now. I want to be home. Y'all got to talk back to me. Amen. Well, Pastor, we're not like that. Well, be that way today. That's all right. Amen. Just be that way today. When I was at the Whitehall camp meeting, I was telling the saints the same thing. I said, "Now, place just packed." I said, "Y'all got to talk back to me. I'm used to that." And I said, and I would be preaching and I'd get to a point and I said, "Oh, you just missed an amen point. You just missed it. Come on, say amen." They would say, "Amen, amen." And I did that a few times. The next night, I told Pastor, the next night, amen, someone made me a big sign on a stick that said, "Amen." And they laid it down on the desk, something like this. They laid it down on the desk right at the pulpit. And so I said, "Oh, that is great." So I got up the next night and I said, "Now look what someone made." And I held up the amen sign, big bold letters, white sign, big black letters, amen. So I said, "I'm going to hold up, y'all. I got to go for it." And we just had the best time with me holding up my amen sign. And then after that, a night or so after that, they made their own amen signs in the congregation. I said, you know, y'all just different than what we do at home. Amen. I was loving it. And so I'd be preaching, and I see about five or six signs go up, and they would say amen. Did I hold up my sign? And we just had the best time with them amen signs. So I'd have a sign today, so y'all just jump in. And if you miss a good point, I'm going to tell you, you missed a good point for an amen. Amen. But let's just enjoy the Lord together. Thank God for this faith promise Sunday. Hallelujah. The focus of it. I don't want you to think I'm making light of our time. I will never do that. This is always my most important moments of the week. This faith promise Sunday, this time when we focus on what it is God may want us to do with the efforts that we are putting our hands to, the things that focus of missions and where our hearts go, and not only our hearts, but our monies and our resources. And when I was informed about this Sunday and the theme, and the theme, Start a Fire. And they told me, I went in here and looked and got the, went on iTunes and got the song and downloaded it to my phone. And I've been, great song. I like the song. Great song. Start a fire. Start a fire. What God wants to do. I believe in this last hour of time that the Holy Spirit of God is stirring up in the hearts of his people. Not that it hasn't been going on. It has been going on. But as we approach the end of time, these are the last days. And as we approach the end of time and see things getting worse and worse, our hearts are to be just captured. We want to do, amen. We want to do as much for the Lord as we can while we can. Amen. Amen. That's the point. That's the point. Amen. Amen. We want to do all we can for the Lord. And I listened to that song again last night as I was just thinking about the message this morning. Amen. The world, the song says, I don't know if you've heard it, but the world can be cold and bitter. Feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. Are you really going to hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine. Let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make it grow so there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you, that it's you that we need. Start a fire in me. Lord have mercy. That's a good thing, isn't it? That's a sentiment of the hearts of the people of God. God, start a fire in me. And if the fire is already there, then at least fan the flame. Fan the flame. I don't want to just be a nominal Christian that goes to church on Sunday, hears some good singing and hears a good message and throws a few dollars in the offering plate, and then I go on about my business and I don't really feel like you're using me in this life and in this world. Amen. Start a fire. Start a fire. The part of the song says, you only need a spark to start a whole blaze. It only takes, here's what I like, it only takes a little faith. That's what Jesus said. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, oh, what can come of that kind of faith? Let it start right now here in this city. So these old walls will never be the same. You don't want to be the same all the time that God has you here. Things ought to be changing in our churches for the better. Amen. We ought to be going higher and higher and getting better and better and making more and more of an influence in our communities. We all know, black or white, it doesn't matter. We all know the kind of world in which we're living. We need the hand of God. If we ever needed the Lord before, the song said, we sure do need him now. Things aren't as good as we would hope they would be. We have to, and only Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit of God is the answer for our world's trouble. I don't care who's in the White House. It doesn't matter what your affiliation is. Amen. And I don't preach politics in the pulpit, but I can tell you one thing. Amen. It's not who's in the White House. Amen. But it's who's in God's house. the people of God, the men and women of God, you and I, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Yes, we're to pray for those that are in authority. Yes, we're to pray for the kind of government, amen, so that we can live quiet, by the Bible says, and peaceable lives. But it's not those men and women that serve in our government. It's where their hearts are. Whether or not they are truly Christian people and believers, you can't hope for a Christian nation without Christian people. That's an amen point right there. Amen. You can't hope for a Christian nation without Christian people. And we've got to ask God, Lord, use us. Use us. Use us. Start a fire. I want to spend a few minutes this morning, amen, using that and kind of zeroing in on this theme and looking at the text here in Mark chapter 2 and use these thoughts, amen. A faith that makes a difference. A faith. I want to suggest to you this morning that you have a faith. I have a faith. We have a faith that can make a difference. The world doesn't care how we sing and preach and pray and whatnot, as long as we don't bother them. Our faith ought to be making a difference. People ought to know on your job that you're saved. You ought to be an undercover Christian. Hallelujah. They ought to know. We just sing I love that song. The first time I heard it, I said, oh, that's a song we're going to sing in our church. Amen. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. I listen to folks sometime on the television and our athletes and our performers and people that get awards and whatnot, and they get up and many of them now say, oh, I want to thank God. You know, I get somewhere, I'm semi-impressed that they did that. But every now and then I'm saying, well, you know, anybody can say, I believe in God. Amen. You can get a person high, get them drunk, and they believe in God. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I went to church. I grew up. My mama, I believe in God. The devil believes in God. Come on now. Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he is the savior of the world. I believe what the Bible says, that you don't come to God except through Christ. They want us to water it down, want us to make it open. They don't want us to be narrow-minded. Amen. All roads lead to God. Not so. That's not what our Bible teaches. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. It's not popular. It just happens to be truth. Lord, I feel like preaching this morning. Hallelujah. All roads lead. They don't lead to God. Jesus, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the light. And no one comes to the Father except they come by me. Jesus said, our way is not broad. We're not going to be open-minded. Amen. We're not here to condemn people. We're not here to make, but everyone is welcome to the table. Welcome to the cross. Welcome to Jesus. God loves us so much. He loves us just the way we are. Don't stop there, but he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. When you come to Jesus, there's a change in your life. Every lifestyle is not compatible with Bible teaching. No longer popular, but it happens to be the truth. Amen. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that he's given us new life. I believe in the crucifixion. Jesus lived and he died and he rose again on the third day. The tomb is empty, and we have a message to tell the story. Our faith ought to make a difference. People ought to know there's something different about us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A faith that makes a difference. We're living in a time where we have to believe in God. We have to. Our faith has to say something now. It has to be. We have to believe that God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he can do. We have to believe that we are who God says we are, and that we can do what God says we can do. The Church of God is a Bible believing church. Amen. We believe the word of God. We are a full gospel church. We don't have the right to pick and choose what parts of the Bible we want to believe. We believe the word is divinely inspired. Amen. From cover to cover, and everything the Holy Spirit says to us through the word, we embrace. I need a revival where I had to preach that truth right now. I could take some time with that one. Amen.
We believe the word of God. We believe what God said. And it's time to embrace who God says we are. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Amen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, amen, that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. I don't have my cleric on this. I'll wear it on the first Sunday when we have communion. You don't need a turnaround collar, or you don't need a degree from seminary or cemetery, whichever one you go to. Some people go to seminary, some people go to cemeteries. But you don't need a degree from either one, amen, a turnaround collar or a big Bible, but you do need to have a faith that makes a difference. People need to know, amen. You need to believe who God says you are. You have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You are a minister, which simply means servant. There's a word in your mouth. What word is that? That's the word of God. And that word in your mouth can reach people on your job, in your community, in your home, amen, your neighbors, amen. You are there. I am there to impact people for good and for God. We've been given the ministry. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. God says we can do all things through him. Jesus says, through me, you can do all things. Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's time for the church, if you will, to get aggressive. We've got to fight back. We've got to stand our ground, which is holy ground. Amen. And say to the world, no, we don't come up to your standard. You come up to ours. You come up to God's, not ours, but God's. And you do what God says he would have you to do. Amen. A broken and a hurting world is waiting for the church to be the church. Waiting for us to really be who we are. And I looked over the Faith Promise bulletin and saw where you're ministering and where your resources are going. I was blessed. And this is a church. For what little bit I know, and I've talked with, I have friends here, Pastor Need and different ones, and we've talked over the years, and your pastor and I, former pastor and I, were very good friends. I talked with him last week and what happened. And just knowing the heart of this church. Amen. But that's what it's about. We've got to be about our Father's business. We've got to get aggressive again. We can't let the world back us into a corner and be afraid to shout our message, whether people come or not. It's not us. Jesus said, just lift me up. I'll do the drawing. Just don't be ashamed of me. I was in a restaurant the other day, and again, and we, like we all do, we go before we have a meal. We say our grace, if you will. We pray over our meal. You better pray. Somebody's behind a door you can't see, and they're preparing your food, and you don't want to pray over it? Yeah. All you did was order what you wanted, and you have faith because you trust that what you ordered is what they're bringing. No, I praise over my food. Father, bless this and sanctify it. Purify it. If there be, I don't say that all out loud because I don't want to make nobody mad in the kitchen, but I do pray that prayer. Purify it. If there be any impurities in this food, take it out right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Pass me the gravy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. No. We've got to be, we can't be ashamed of who we are. We give our witness. I saw that family bow their heads, and I haven't seen this in a while. Two adults and two children, they bowed and they folded their. I said, "Oh, go ahead on." They were showing up praying over their food. But the fact is that we have to, and it's not just that. That's a minor, if you will. No, it's not a minor witness. But my point is that we have to say to the world and announce and proclaim who we are. Let's look at this text for a little bit. Amen. Look at this text for a little bit. Mark chapter 2. I'm talking about a faith that makes a difference. God, start a fire in me. God, let there be a flame. Let there be a passion in my life for the work of God. It's not just on a few people in the church. It's not just on the stewards. God, you have called me. If the Lord has saved you, he has called you. If you're saved today, you're called. You're called to ministry. I didn't say you were called to stand behind this pulpit. Amen. This is not an open pulpit. Amen. This is a closed. I have about about 23, 24 persons at home that profess a call to the prophetic ministry. That means to the preaching and teaching ministry. But they know, I've announced to them, amen, this is not an open pulpit. Don't get in line because you're not going to get any time to preach up in here. I announced very clearly, this is my pulpit. Not by ownership, by stewardship. And I say, of course, and I mean that tongue in cheek, because there are several ones that certainly I use to speak when I'm away and whatnot. But what I say to them is that there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to learn your gift. We have small groups in our church in Philadelphia. So most of the ministers are over a small group. I said, that's your pulpit right there. Don't look to come up here on Sunday. But I'm saying you don't look just to different leaders to do all the work. No, you're called and I am called to do the work of the ministry. A faith that makes a difference. Watch this. Let's go to the text. A faith that makes a difference, first of all, is a faith that is strong enough to care. A faith that, look at the text, a faith that is strong enough to care. Jesus is ministering in Capernaum, and after some days, amen, and it was heard, that it got, the news got around the town that he was in the house. I love that. I love that the Bible, amen, is even ahead of some of our vernacular, amen. The young folks talk about, yeah, oh yeah, I'm in the house. Yeah, he's in the house. Well, I mean, if you were a party goer, which you're not, you would walk into the party. I'm in the house. I'm here. I'm in the house. That means it's about to get down now. I'm here. And the Bible says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Hallelujah. You don't want to come to church if Jesus isn't in the house. You don't want to even waste your time coming here. I want Jesus to be in the house. When I come to service, I want the worship to be good. I want the singing and the praise to be good. I want the fellowship to be good. I want the pastor to be on point. Amen. Don't y'all wear him out all week long and then expect a hot message on Sunday. Don't work like that. Amen. That work has to be divided. Some of that work of what he does. And I already know he's a man that has a heart for God's people. I just discerned that in just 2 days. Amen. Already caring about what's going on in your lives and your families and sicknesses and bereavements. And that's a part of our responsibility. But our main responsibility is to pray, to preach, to teach, to raise leaders, to cast vision. That's a pastor's job. I learned some years ago, and I don't have to worry about it because I'm probably serving in my last church right now. But if I was young, after learning this truth, I'd be set because I wouldn't meet with any committee and let them give me a job description. No, I have my job description. According to this word, my number one responsibility is to pray. Secondly, preach and teach. Thirdly, raise up leaders. Fourthly, cast vision. That's all. Only a pastor can do those things. No, you can pray, but you can't pray as the leader. You can preach and teach, but you can't preach and teach as the leader. Let me drop this in here for free. There's only one pastor in this church now. I wish I had my sign. There's only one pastor in this church now. Amen. Amen. So all the little pastors, I know Pastor Gerald, I moved on. Ooh, he done left now. Now's my turn. No. God has sent you a man of God. You've prayed about it. All of that. One pastor. Amen. In this church. Amen. Pastor. But you can preach and teach, but not as the pastor. You can help develop leaders, but not as the pastor. And you certainly can cast vision because God won't give you vision. He gives the man of God vision, the woman of God vision. What he does, he confirms the vision by his people. But God doesn't lead by committee. God doesn't lead by boards. You can't find that any place in the Bible. He leads by a leader. He surrounds that leader with men and women of God who are Holy Spirit filled and can have the spirit of discernment. Absolutely, yes. But search the record. I love Judges chapter 6 when Israel was being chastised for sinning against God. And God cast Israel into the hands of the Midianites 7 years. And the Bible says Israel began to cry out to God for help. And for she was repenting. God was sorry for all the sins we've committed. God, please get us out of this mess. Please. And look at that text. When God answers the prayers of his people, how does he answer that prayer? He sends them a leader. He sent them Gideon. A leader is always God's answer to his people's needs. He surrounds that leader with other people, other good men and women of God. Yes, I'm not talking about a dictator. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about Bible principle. We have so many churches that won't function by Bible principle. And they can't understand why they can't move forward because they violate scriptural principles and protocols. And I know God's going to bless this house and bless this church as you move forward. But I was saying it, that ministry is on all of us. We have to have a faith that is strong enough to care. Look at the word. It says that he's in Capernaum. He's in the house. Amen. It was noise. He was there. Look at verse 3. Then there came to him bringing a man, a paralytic, who was carried by four men. You got to be able to care. You got to be able to care. That's the first point. Second point will be strong enough to carry. Third point, strong enough to cause commotion. Fourth point, strong enough to celebrate. You've got to be able to have a faith that's strong enough to care. Somewhere in this story, we don't have all the details, but these four gentlemen had to care about their friend. Why? Because they brought their friend to Jesus. Our faith has to put within us this burden and this passion to care. We can no longer, and I know it's not, I'm not applying it here to First Church, so this is, you just don't belong here, but you take this and give it to other people that might need this truth. Amen. Amen. But you got to be able to care. You can't say the words, you know what? I just don't care about that. You can't watch television and watch the news and watch all the pain and the sorrow that's in our world today, our homes, our communities, whether you live in that community or not. You cannot come to a place where you don't care. That's not Bible. That's not Christian. You may not be able to do a thing about it, but you have to care. You have to look at something and your heart has to be touched. God, that's terrible. God, that's not right. God, that's not good. God, have mercy on that situation. God, please move in that situation. We can no longer be the Christian church and not care. We have to care. These men cared. Our faith, if it's going to make a difference, it has to be a faith that cares. Let me move on quickly because this leads in really to the first two points, really hand in hand. Care about what's going on. You have to be able to care about a situation on your job. When you hear something, when someone comes, can I talk to you for a minute? I know you're a church going, bro. I know you're a Christian lady. I know you're a Christian gentleman. Can I talk to you? You have to be able to care. The person that you don't particularly warm up to on your job and they don't particularly warm up to you, wait till God sends them your way and they want to talk with you. You have to have a heart that's willing to care. Willing to say, you know what? Let's see what the Lord will have us do, if anything, do about this situation. Care about a person's need. Care about what's going on. Life can so cause us to be jaded sometime. We can go through things that will just mess with our minds, our emotions, our hearts, to where we just don't want to be bothered. That's not the church. That's not ministers of reconciliation, which we are. We have to have a faith that's strong enough to care. Secondly, a faith that is strong enough to carry. Carry what, Pastor? Carry the burden. In this case, they carried this man. Four friends, I wasn't believe they're friends. They said to one another, I don't know where the idea came from, but they, you know what? Jesus is down the road. Jesus is down the road at that house down there. I got wind. There's a meeting going on down there, and Jesus is down there teaching and doing great things. Let's take our friend to Jesus. For what? To get him healed. And four men, four brothers decided to put that man on a stretcher, pick him up, and carry him down the road. That was faith in action. We have to have faith that's strong enough to carry burdens, carry each other to the Lord. This church ought to be a church that's warm and where we care about each other. I already know that it is from what little bit I know. Amen. I was talking to Pastor. We were talking about church life and whatnot. And I was saying that sometimes after church, you know, he's getting away right after service, going on vacation with his family. Don't hold him up. I said, Pastor, when they say the benediction, get out of here. Get on vacation with your wife and your children. Amen. But we hang around and we fellowship. That's a good, healthy sign. This church shouldn't just evaporate when you say the benediction. There ought to be some fellowship. There ought to be some connection. There ought to be some hand-holding and some hugging and some sharing. Why? Because we carry one another. In here, we carry each other's burdens. I need to belong to a people that will pray for me. A people that I will pray for in our fellowship. We pray, we carry one another. These men carried their friend to Jesus. What's on your heart right now? Beyond your immediate family, what are you carrying? Are there any situations on your job, in your community, amen, that you're carrying? Are there any things that the Lord is laying on your heart and mind? Are there any people that you know, you go into familiar stores or have merchants you do business with, that when you see them, something triggers in your heart and you, because you care, and you find yourself beginning to carry certain kinds of burdens? That's the Spirit of God. That's what he does in the lives of believers. Amen. We've got to carry things. We've got to be able to share things. I was talking a minute ago about the workload is not all on the pastor just because you hired him. No. That's not what the Bible teaches. In Ephesians 4, the Bible says, my job, Pastor Nathan's job, is to equip you. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Amen. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? So that we could equip the saints, so that the saints could do the work of the ministry. Yeah, people want to see their pastor. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to get him out of work. That's not, we're going to have that. God's going to see to that. But do you know that shepherds don't beget sheep? You do know that, don't you? Sheep beget sheep. Amen. Whether your friend, whether people ever, oh, you ought to come hear my pastor. Yeah, that's good. Bring people to church. That's great. Bring folks to church. But guess what? You're already on that job. They can come to know Jesus through you, whether they ever hear your pastor or not. Sheep beget sheep. Exodus chapter 18, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, told Moses, he came to have fellowship with Moses. He saw his son-in-law Moses sitting there, the Bible says, standing there, judging the people of God all day long. And Jethro said, and this is the Shepherd translation, are you crazy? You going to stand here and judge all these people and hear all their problems and give them all solutions all day? You going to kill them and kill yourself. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, I tell you what you do. You find you some men. You find you some leaders that are full of wisdom and the Spirit of God. You find and make them captains of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And appoint them over these things. Let them judge in lesser matters. And you judge in those crisis situations. If you do it, you'll last, and so will the people. You have stewards here. I love the system you have. I'm getting to learn something about it. Even Pastor Gerald will tell me about how you operate here. In the biblical, we have board of directors. We have ministers. We have elders in our church. Why? Because I don't intend for every problem to come to me. I intend for some things to get resolved because there are spirit-filled people in the congregation who can be used to minister whether the pastor ever knows about it. That's the way the body of Christ works. He's not a hireling. You didn't hire him to do all the work. You hired him to lead the church. Amen. That was another good point. I missed it. Amen. That's a good one. Strong enough to care. Strong enough to carry. They carried this man to Jesus. Third point. Let me get out quickly. I'm running out of time. Strong enough to cause commotion. Oh, here we watch out now. Watch this one. Strong enough to, this one is where church folk get in trouble. Amen. Strong enough to cause commotion. They get this man to Jesus. Jesus is in the house. I mean, the meeting is hot and heavy. The place is packed. People all around the house. You can't get in. And they bring this man down the road, get him to the house. And when they get there, they can't even get inside the building. Now watch this. Somebody said among the four men, I said, wait a minute. Well, we might as well go. We're not hardly carrying this man back down the road. We brought him here to get healed. This man's going to walk back to his own house. That's why we brought him in the first place. Oh, no, no, no. Well, we can't get in. Look at all these people. We can't get in. Well, we're going to do something. Somebody going to move. Somebody getting out the way. We're going to get, this man is getting to Jesus. Well, how are we going to get in? I don't know. Just come on. You big, push your way through there. Let's get closer to the house. You two big ones in the front, push your way. Just Bogart. Get on in there. And so the Bible said, Bible doesn't say this, but I'm inferring that the Bible says this. Amen. That they, God will push their way out because they had to get through the crowd. They didn't just say, excuse me, special needs here. Then people weren't caring about that. They were trying to hit Jesus themselves. So they kind of shoved and pushed their way through. They got to the house. What are we going to do? Ain't nobody on the roof. What? Nobody's on the roof. So what are we going to do? Let's get him up on the roof. Then what? Then let's tear open the roof. What you been smoking? I'm serious. I'm serious. How else are we going to get him down there? Let's go up there. Let's, you know, let's just do what we got to do. We done brought him all the way down here. I'm not carrying that man back home. They pick him up on the roof. I wish your Bible was more detailed about how they actually did it. But anyway, they got him up there. And the Bible says, oh, I love this. Verse 4, that when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. Where he was. See, that's so nice and neat. They uncovered the roof. That's like, you know, you got a blanket on your bed. You just uncovered. No, that's not what it means. They uncovered the roof. They begin to cause commotion. That's the point. Get it? Is our faith strong enough to care, to carry, to cause commotion? What situation, watch this, what situation have you disturbed lately because you care about it so much? Have you, when have you caused a little bit of uncomfort and or discomfort because you care about it so much? They start uncovering the roof. Now you got to think. Now when you read the Bible, people of God, think when you read the Bible, when you read it, go there. Do you know that the meeting stopped? You do know that, don't you? You do know Jesus is in the house. He's probably sitting and he's probably teaching people and he's in the house and the house is packed and they all around and Jesus is teaching and all of a sudden the roof starts falling in. You do know Jesus stopped teaching, don't you? You do know Jesus wasn't teaching, amen, the word of God. And you're blessed when, if you love God. And the roof starts falling in on Jesus and the people. And he just ignores it and keeps on teaching. No. The meeting stopped. What's my point? I thought about that. I said, what happens in the church? Watch this. When our planned, what we plan for ourselves gets disrupted. So God can do something for someone else. What happens when the order of service doesn't follow the bulletin? Oh, Lord, not here at First Church, but some folks just have a fit if the bulletin's not followed. And now it's 10:21. We should be singing the third song by now. It's 10:40. The preacher should be getting up. He's already 10 minutes late. What happens when God disrupts our program to do a work in someone's life? They caused a commotion. Roof starts caving in on people. Jesus has to stop. And the hole just gets bigger and bigger and wider. They had to attach ropes, I'm sure, to the edges of the stretcher. Amen. And all this, come on, this didn't happen in 2 minutes. To let this man down through the roof in front of Jesus. I come to tell you, First Church family, that there ought to be some commotion around here sometime. I don't mean that disruptive stuff that causes us to have infighting. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the move of God. Our church's name is Bethesda Christian Fellowship Church of God. We named that way. We moved across town and long story I can't, but so we decided to reincorporate, change our name. We were called West Oak Lane Church of God because we were in the West Oak Lane section of Philadelphia where we moved from there. So we couldn't be, I didn't want to be West Oak Lane and we weren't living in West Oak Lane. Prayed about it. God said, I'm going to give this church a Bethesda ministry. John chapter 5. the Bethesda pool where there were all kinds of folk that were hurting. And every now and then the angel would come down and trouble the water. And whoever stepped into the water first would get healed. God says, I'm going to give you a Bethesda ministry, a place where I can trouble the waters and people can come and get healed and get delivered. And they can be, addictions can be broken where God can move. God has to be free to move in our churches. He has to be free sometime when we have our meetings to wipe the board and say, I know we've done it this way for the last 20 years, but let's fast. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's see if God wants to do something different. Let's cause a little commotion. You know, some folk might leave you if you cause too much commotion, but other folk might, God might send to you because you are causing commotion. Because you are saying, God, have thine, as that great hymn says, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. We sing songs and we declare scripture many times of truths that we don't practice. We tell God to have his way, but if he changes the order of things, we're about to lose our minds. They broke up the roof. They caused a commotion. I'm here to suggest to someone that you ought to be saying, Lord, help me to be the kind of believer, the kind of servant that on my job, in my home, in my community, you can use me to maybe stir some things up. I'm not saying make folk mad and make enemies. I'm saying plant a seed, sow a word, sow a work, do something in the context that you are in to make a difference, a faith that makes a difference. He let the man down. Here's what I like as I go to my close. The Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, not the man's faith, the faith of the men that carried him. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man that was sick, he said, your sins are forgiven. Describes the religious people. What kind of blasphemy is this? That he wants to forgive sins. Jesus knew their thoughts. I love that. Don't ever think he doesn't know what you're thinking. He says, oh, you think I can't forgive sins? All right, try this one on for size. Turns to the paralytic. Arise, take up your bed and walk. The Bible says immediately, I love that, he took up his bed. You know who was the happiest? Them four brothers that brought him. They're like, yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's just what, I knew Jesus could do it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, this man is walking home by himself today. The man jumped up. The place was amazed. The Bible says, they begin to say, oh my, we've never seen anything like this. They begin to be amazed. They begin to praise God. Some of them, I'm sure, and begin to worship. Here's my last point. Your faith has to be strong enough, not only to care, not only to carry, not only to cause emotion, but faith that's strong enough to celebrate. Celebrate someone else's deliverance. Celebrate someone else's freedom. Celebrate someone else coming through to get the same joy and peace that you have. Oh my, this church, I don't care what our makeup is. I don't care what our personality is like. Well, Pastor, I'm just not emotional. There's a Greek word in the Bible for that. The word is baloney. You are emotional. All it takes is the right thing to push your button. This ought to be a celebrating church. Amen. 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 When somebody gets saved and they have a breakthrough or they get healed, there ought to be some noise around here. Amen. The Bible says, Luke 15, verse 7, that the parable of the lost sheep, that when the man finds the one sheep, that he has 99, he loses one. When he finds that one sheep and brings that sheep home, he rejoices over that one sheep more than the 99. And then Jesus said, that's the way it is in heaven. When one sinner repents, heaven breaks out in a party. Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand church folk, amen, that get saved and get quiet. Now y'all know when you was in the world, you wasn't quiet. Come on now. You hear your favorite song on the radio, the young folks. That's my jam right there. That's the young folks say, amen. You get to moving, amen. You hear your song or whatever. Get the right thing to push your button. We'll find out how unemotional you are. We about ready for football season. I done seen dignified men in my church They walk stately. They little starchy. Let their team get on the radio, on the television. All of a sudden, these same men that won't say boo in church are yelling at the television screen. Like the people on the screen can hear them. Let the ladies find the right sale at their favorite store. Come to, did you? That's what I'm talking about. Phone get, girl, they having a sale down at the store. Come on. And if you take, if you use your card, you get an extra 20% off. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Let's go. That sound like emotion to me. They celebrate it. I'm done. They celebrate it. We ought to have a faith that is ready. We're ready to celebrate. God save, God heal, God move by your spirit, God bless this house, God save our young people, God save our spouses, God save. And when you're in a community, you're in Haiti and these places where you, I looked in the back, where you minister to in the back of your bulletin and whatnot, and all the places your money are going, and your resources are going, and you're working. When God is moving, you ought to be happy than more than any other time there is. Because that's what it's all about. You ought to be glad when somebody comes in here, God is growing this church, and they beat you to church, and they're sitting in your seat. You're late. Don't be talking to the usher. Go on down there and tell them to move into the row in front of them. No, you're late. Good enough for you. There's a strange face sitting in your seat. Thank you, God. Bless this church. Lord, grow this house. Send in whoever you want to send in. A faith that makes a difference. Come on, stand with me. Let's get ready to pray. And thank you for your patience. A faith that makes a difference. A faith that is strong enough to care. Oh, I want to say this because the context is just perfect. We're living in a world. We're living in a world. This is not for the church. But the world we live in, race relations are worse. They're not better, they're worse. Not in every place. But there's a real devil that's trying to get people that look like you to hate people that look like me. There's a real devil trying to get people that look like me to hate people that look like you. Not so in the church of God. Not so in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to fight that evil power. We've got to say, Lord, I need to care about what's going on in our communities. I support law enforcement. I have officers in my congregation. My attendant, we call them armor bearers. The person that attends to me, goes with me, is with me when I come to church, when I visit other places, he's with me. He's a retired Philadelphia officer. But when I see injustice, I still have to care without hating. And not just in that scenario. That's one that's in our faces now. But we can pick and choose the scenario. We're headed for an election next year. And already you can hear what the devil, you can discern what the enemy's trying to do. Trying to divide our nation. And get people just pitted against each other. God, the church has got, the church is the world's only hope. To bring back some sense and to bring back the love of God into situations like this. We have to care. We have to carry burdens. We have to carry. We have to carry it. We can't let it go. We can't be oblivious. No, you got to carry it. We have to cause some commotion. We have to cause some commotion. We have to do some things that might work, might make people in the world mad, but that's all right. Jesus wasn't everybody's friend. Don't expect to be everyone's friend. The Bible says if all men speak well of you, that's not a good thing. There's someone that's going to not like you because of your Christian witness. We have to cause some commotion. And then lastly, thank God, we have to celebrate. I'm glad when people get saved, when folk get delivered, when marriages get restored, when young people get delivered from drugs and you name it. Let's ask God right now to just strengthen our faith. If you want to come forward, any one of these points was a particular point that ministered to you, come on down to the altar. Let's pray real quick and we'll turn it back into the hands of your leaders. If not, we'll just pray. Anybody need the Lord? You want to give your heart and life to the Lord?
You ought to make a decision to come now. But Lord, I'm coming because I want my faith to be strengthened. I don't want to be afraid to minister in this generation. And if not, let's just go on. All right, let's pray together.